Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to everyone in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Tamara Stark, your host for today's fabulous show with CJ Hayden. And the title of our show is Coach Conversations, Get Clients Now. Before I actually introduce CJ to you, I would like to know for you to know that this show is sponsored by ICF Phoenix, and we proudly announce that this month, Coaching Month, we are celebrating the profession of coaching. And we've had 30 days of wonderful events and culminating last week in a great conversation with Vicki Brock about the future of coaching. Today we have CJ Hayden sharing with us how to get clients. On May 17th, Dr. Laura Belston will be joining us for a special lunch and workshop regarding expanding your coaching business by coaching and social emotional intelligence. So you can go to icfphoenix.com or to coachingmonth.com to find out about these and other events that we are doing through here in Phoenix to celebrate Coaching Month. And if you are listening to this show and have a computer nearby, please visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/ICF Phoenix. There'll be a post for the show, and you can use it as a virtual chat room. So if you have any comments, questions, or insights, please send them to us via that Facebook page. Again, it's facebook.com/ICF Phoenix. Well, now that we have the housekeeping out of the way, CJ, I just really want to welcome you. I'm so excited that you were able to be with us today.
And Thank you so much, Tamara.
And I want the audience to just know just what a powerful MCC coach you are. You're a business coach, and you are the author of Get Clients Now, the One-Person Marketing Plan Workbook, and 50 Ways Coaches Can Change the World. Since 1992, CJ has been helping coaches and other independent professionals get clients, get unstuck, and get on purpose. She has taught marketing for John F. Kennedy University, Mills College, the U.S. Small Business Administration, and SCORE. Her articles on marketing and sales have been published internationally with Home Business, Selling Power, Rain Today, and About.com. To get more information about CJ and her work, you can go to GetClientsNow.com. That's, those three words are all together, GetClientsNow.com. And CJ also comes to us as a powerful woman who is successful in her own business, and today to share some tips about what we can do to market our businesses and get clients now. So, CJ, when I was reading your bio, I was just really impressed with how you came to your life decision to become a coach. So perhaps you can share a little bit of that with our audience today.
I think one of the pieces of my background that made me who I am now is that I ran away from home when I was 15, and I never went back. And I lived on the street for a couple of years and really had to struggle to survive. And I went on from there to having eventually a professional career. I put myself through school at night, got a general equivalency diploma, and then put myself through college, and ultimately I had a lot of jobs, and in my mid-30s I was working as a productivity consultant, and I was helping mid-sized companies figure out how to get things done. And by then I had been self-employed before, and I hadn't been very successful at it. So hopefully you will laugh when I say it was because I couldn't figure out how to get clients. So
yes.
That time around, I was really determined I was going to make a success of it. And I was networking with my peers to develop more business. And I found myself in a leadership role in one of my networking groups. And people were always asking me to help them with their business issues. And what I discovered was that I actually enjoyed much more the conversations I was having with my peers than I did with the corporate clients who I was working with. And so another coach was born. I decided to start helping very small companies get things done instead of the corporate clients that I'd been consulting for.
And you've made a successful business of, once you made that decision and stepped into that bigger place for yourself, as I understand
it. I did. You know, at the time, people said to me, oh, well, you can't make any money working with small businesses. You'll have to have corporate clients, too. And I said, well, we'll see. And that is exactly what's turned out to be the case. For the last 20 years, I have had a coaching practice based on solo entrepreneurs, independent professionals, very small businesses. And it's been wonderful. They're the people that I love spending time with, so they're the ideal coaching clients for me.
And I understand, CJ, you're also a certified professional co-active coach. Can you tell us a little bit about that training as well?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, at the time I started coaching, which was in 1992, there wasn't any coach training. I had never met another coach, and in fact, I thought I had made this way of working up. And about 3 months after I started doing what I was doing, I met another coach, and she introduced me to a couple more coaches. And not long after that, the Coaches Training Institute started offering a coach training program in San Francisco. So I ended up going through CTI's whole, first their training program and then their certification program. I was one of the first people to do that. And then I served on CTI's faculty for a time as an examiner and a supervisor and program advisor for the certification program. So that certificate that I hold, I know inside out because I've been on both sides of the fence for it.
Wow, that's great, though, to be able to experience both sides, to be able to teach it and to learn it as well as to use it. And you are also a member of the Arbinger Coaches Network. Tell us a little bit about that network, if you would.
The Arbinger Institute, many people in the coaching industry have heard of Arbinger through their book Leadership and Self-Deception. And then they also have another book called The Anatomy of Peace. And Arbinger's developed an advanced coach training based on the material that's in those books that teaches you a very unique approach for working with clients. And I took that program a couple of years ago and found it to be incredibly valuable. So for me as a coach, having been coaching for 18 years, I still got incredible value from doing that coach training with them. So I'm very pleased to have added that to my coaching repertoire as well.
How would you say that what you learned through them advanced your coaching techniques?
Arbinger has an approach to looking at personal issues as ultimately, this is my language, not theirs, but ultimately being all about relationships. So everything that's going on inside you and with you is ultimately about the relationships that you have with the people in your lives, with the people in your head, with the world around you. And what they teach us to do as coaches is to work with that principle and help people sort out barriers and obstacles and blocks that are preventing them from thriving in life by looking deeply at their relationships. And it's very relevant to business coaching. It's not just about people's personal lives.
And it's certainly relevant to your topic today of how we market our business as coaches. And so if you would take just a minute or so to tell us how you approach working with coaches when you support them in building their business, and then I have some more specific questions to ask you as we get further into that. And before we do that, CJ, before I ask you to start, I just want to remind callers or people who want to call in and ask a question, because I know we're going to have a rich conversation here, that they can call in at 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. And throughout the call, I will be stopping to catch up with those who have a specific question. And Anna will also be letting us know if we have any burning questions coming in via Facebook. So thanks, CJ, for letting me take that moment and share with us, please, how you approach working with clients, with coaches who are trying to get more clients.
The typical client I work with is somebody who wants to become more strategic about their business. So my coaching client would be a solo entrepreneur, a partner in a small firm, usually in the professional services industry. So coaches, yes, consultants, therapists, trainers, authors, etc. And I particularly enjoy working with people who have a social entrepreneurship element in their business. Their business has as a primary goal making the world a better place in some tangible way. So given that context, my own personal coaching clients are people who, yes, they want to get more clients, and they also want to become more strategic about their businesses. They want to have a business that really reflects their interests, their strengths, their values, their higher purpose, and at the same time earns them a good living. So I take that big picture approach with the people I work with one-on-one. And I also teach coaches and other independent professionals to get clients through the Get Clients Now program. And the Get Clients Now program is a very specific, orderly way to go about getting clients. It works like a cookbook. So when I take people through the Get Clients Now program, what I have them do is use the system as a model, as a template for choosing the very best ways for them personally to go about marketing, and then put that into an action plan that tells them what to do, how much of it to do, and when to do it.
So by the time you finish this, you really have a whole template as well as outlined all the scenarios of how you're going to do it, when, what day of the week, how many calls, all of that.
Exactly. You have an action worksheet that shows you exactly what you've chosen to do. It's a 28-day program, so you're setting yourself up for a month's worth of activity. And it makes it really straightforward, I think, for a lot of coaches who have never had to market before or who have marketed something else before, not coaching, not themselves. And now they're looking at, well, how do I do this thing? This is actually quite different from anything I've done before in my life. And it gives them a very specific list of things to do that they can get their arms around and really take on in an organized way.
Sounds like a very valuable structure and approach to this, CJ. And I'm assuming people can read about this also in your book of Get Clients Now, as well as to hire you to work with them. Is that right?
Absolutely. They can read the book Get Clients Now. They can take the Get Clients Now program from my company or from any of 300 licensed facilitators around the world to deliver the Get Clients Now program. Or, yes, they can work with me personally, or they can work with one of the coaches who have been trained in the Get Clients Now system.
So you've had a lot of experience working with coaches as well as other solo entrepreneurs and small businesses. And what are the most common mistakes, CJ, that you see coaches in particular, but maybe all entrepreneurs, making when they're trying to market their business?
I think there's a number of areas where coaches are not doing as well as they could at marketing. One mistake I see coaches make is refusing or resisting the choosing of a niche or target market, trying to sell coaching to everybody rather than identifying who they really want to work with and then interacting with people in that niche. Another problem area is talking too much about the process of coaching, how coaching works, what it is, and too little about what clients get from it, the results, the outcome. Why do I want this thing called coaching anyway? But, you know, the one that I've been noticing a lot lately is this unfortunate practice of changing your identity from being a coach to being a salesperson when you start to market or to sell. It's like somebody has told you that there's a marketing face or a selling voice that you need to use, and then you put it on when you start marketing. And when you do that, you're hiding behind a mask. You're not being yourself. Here's some examples of the kind of thing I mean. I see coaches build websites that are completely focused on their company and not on the coach behind it. So they don't even have their name on their homepage. And sometimes you can't even find it anywhere on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Or they talk about their services with this anonymous we or us, even though there's nobody else in the company. So that's an example of putting on a mask. Another one would be, and unfortunately we see this a lot online, trying to sell yourself as if you were a Ronco product with three bonus gifts and introductory discounts. You know, buy the rotisserie and get a 40-piece flatware set for free. That kind of marketing, it presents you as being a commodity rather than a live, caring human being. So I'm not talking about selling home study programs. I'm talking about selling coaching, getting somebody to work with you one-on-one as a coach. You have to let them know who you are. You have to expose yourself. You have to step out behind any of those masks and be authentic and engage with people who are likely to become clients. All those other practices that we see businesses follow when they're trying to market themselves, those aren't the kind of marketing that most coaches need to be doing. So I think we need to pay attention.
So yeah, go ahead, Tamara. If you were to encapsulate the three or four areas that you think coaches can use that seem to be most effective for coaches getting clients now, what two or three approaches, techniques, whatever you call them in your framework, would you suggest?
Well, first of all, you have to choose things that put you into direct contact with your target market as opposed to things that are indirect. So speaking with clients in person, talking to them on the phone, writing personal, not mass-produced, letters or emails, live networking, building referral relationships, public speaking. Those are all really excellent ways to reach out to customers directly and let them know who you are. If what you're doing is you're trying to market yourself primarily online, you have to pay attention to the personal relationship element. You know, I think that there is a misunderstanding on the part of a lot of newer coaches that somebody's going to come to your website and they're going to hire you. And actually, it doesn't really work that way. They might show up on your website. Who knows how they got there? But they might show up on your website. Then they need to get to know you. And then maybe they're going to hire you. And that getting to know you piece usually means they have to have a conversation with you, whether it is in a group format like you're giving a class or you're a guest speaker somewhere, or it is through writing like a blog where people are commenting and you're commenting back. But there has to be that connection, that relationship. Those are the sorts of things that really work to get coaching clients.
So it doesn't always have to be in person, but it has to be deeper than just being touched by an email or something.
It does. It has to be more than sending out anonymous generic emails to a mailing list that's been created of people who maybe could possibly be interested in what it is that you have to offer. Again, you know, that's a practice that works well for selling home study courses or getting people to sign up for a teleclass, but it's not an approach that gets people to hire you personally to work with them one-on-one. For that, they need to know who you are.
Is a teleclass or a webinar or an effective way for coaches to be known so that people will then sign up after that to hire them as a coach?
It's a great way for people to have that personal contact with you that they really crave. And I think that for many coaches, the best approach is to look for who could you have to sponsor you in a program like that? Where could you be a guest speaker? Because the challenge is if you're starting from scratch, right, and you want to fill a teleclass, do you have a list of people who you can invite, right? Where does that list come from? So people struggle to put on their own teleclasses because they think that that's a good way to get in touch with prospective clients. But it's kind of putting the cart before the horse if where you're starting from is you don't have a list of prospective clients to work with. But being a guest speaker, having a sponsor, yes, that works because somebody else is assembling the group of people for you, and then you can come on and you can speak to an already assembled audience. That can be very, very powerful whether you're doing it online as a teleclass or in person, live in your local area.
Does finding or getting speaking engagements, whether they're online or in person, does it help if you've been published and to have more credibility and more entree to those audiences or not?
It certainly can help. It's by no means a requirement. But yes, it can help as to position you as an expert so that somebody is interested in hearing what it is that you have to say. But it doesn't mean that you have to have written a book. You can be writing a blog. You can have written a couple of newsletter articles that have been published in someone's newsletter, right? You can start very, very small with that. But I think the important part that people need to be looking at is, you know, when you look at all the ways that you could potentially market yourself, up at the top of that list of things are direct contact, follow-up, networking, referral building, public speaking. Those are all things that really work very well. Further down the list is writing and publicity. Even further down that list are promotional events and advertising. Those are the sorts of things that take a lot of money and a lot of promotional skill in order to get the numbers that you would need to start seeing any kinds of results. And most coaches find that any kind of advertising is not effective for them at all.
So of the top four or five that you mentioned, CJ,
mm-hmm.
how would a coach go about choosing which one is the best way to get started?
There's a couple of things to look at. The first thing is choose the most effective thing you can possibly do unless there's some reason that that's not going to work for you. And I'll give you that caveat in a minute. So I say that the top three things are direct contact and follow-up, networking and referral building, public speaking. For a lot of coaches, they could just do things in those three categories forever and get all the clients they could ever need. They wouldn't have to go any further than that. For many coaches, they could actually take the top two, direct contact and follow-up, networking and referral building, and that's it, right? So what you have to look at is what will you actually do? What are you naturally drawn to? If you're typically outgoing and you enjoy talking to people, choose things that are going to get you to networking events and give you lots of time on the phone. But if talking to strangers makes you so uncomfortable that you'll do anything to avoid it,
mm-hmm.
well, choose things that will allow you to concentrate on building referrals with people you already know or writing articles for publication. If you choose activities that you like or are at least willing to try, you're going to do them. So that's the intersection that you're striving for is what's the most effective versus least effective, and what am I actually drawn to? What feels to me as if it's something that I can accomplish instead of ending up being a list of things to do on an endless list that I never seem to get to because they're all so scary or they're all so uncomfortable.
So how would coaches who pick, you know, two or three of these top things and say, I'm going to go for this, whether it's the quieter way or the more externalized, extroverted way,
mm-hmm.
how would they approach people and have those conversations without feeling like they are a salesperson?
As a coach, that is the number one thing. You know, you need to assume the position that everybody can be your client. They just haven't made that decision yet. So instead of putting yourself into the place of, oh, I've got to sell this person or I've got to convince them of something, just be a coach. Ask them what's going on in their lives. Give them some powerful questions to chew on. Have a coaching conversation with someone who might possibly become a coaching client, and then say to them, you know, these kinds of powerful conversations, this is what I do with my clients. We talk like this, where I ask you questions that help you discover what is the truth for you and allow you to then choose based on that truth. That kind of conversation with a potential client is so much more powerful than weeks and months of bombarding them with promotional emails, or even worse, trying to sell them coaching by saying, oh, it's the greatest thing. You really ought to try it.
And it also generally is more fulfilling for us as coaches to have that heart-to-heart and deeper conversation with people.
Oh, absolutely, because that's what we're about. We're not in this business to be salespeople.
So I would love it, CJ, if you would reiterate again when you first started with assuming that clients really want what you have to offer. Can you just talk a little bit more about that? Take that deeper for us, because I think that's such an important thing for us as coaches to remember when we are marketing our business.
I think what it really comes down to is that you have to love your potential clients, and you have to let them know that you love them. You know, so many of the sources of our discomfort around marketing have to do with feeling separated from our prospects or distant from them. So we feel hesitant to pick up the phone and call somebody who's expressed interest in coaching, but we would never feel that way about a friend. Or we're really afraid to go to places where a lot of prospective clients might be gathering. But if we really loved those people, we'd be looking forward to that gathering. Or we hold back from asking people to work with us because we're afraid we're going to be rejected. But if this was somebody we cared about who we wanted to spend more time with, we wouldn't feel that way. So if we can stand in the place of really loving those people out there who we want to work with and letting them know that, behaving towards them as if they were, because they are, people who we really care about and want to support in getting everything they want in life, that's the place to market from.
So really preparing ourselves in advance for that conversation by stepping into that heartfelt place of love and a huge desire to serve.
Absolutely, because that's so, so powerful. People sense that that's where you're coming from. But if you freeze up yourself and feel desperate about, oh, I really need to convince this person of something that maybe they don't want to do, they sense that too.
CJ, in the work that you've done with so many coaches and business people over the years, what other barriers do you think coaches might encounter in marketing that prevent us from being as successful as we'd like to be?
You know, we really get held back, I think, by fear and resistance and also just plain procrastination. You know, we're afraid to be rejected, so we don't ask for the business. And we resist marketing. We think, well, you know, if I'm good at what I do, I shouldn't have to market, right? People should just come to me. And procrastination very often is just simply a mask for one of those negative emotions. Sometimes it's a time management problem, but actually much more often it's just an indication that there is a negative emotion preventing you from being effective in this area. And, you know, I think many of us, when we start feeling that fear and that negativity, we feel like we're the only ones, that everybody else was born naturally fearless.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all of us are afraid at times. I mean, I certainly was, and I certainly am. I still experience those feelings. And it's just that, well, most people don't really talk about it so much. So I think it's important for us to recognize that courage in this situation, it's not the absence of fear. It's the ability to take action while you are afraid. And we can all learn to do that. And the more that we do it, the more skilled we become at being able to market ourselves, even when we feel fearful about what might happen.
So we could all use some good coaching when we're doing that, when we're being...
Yes, we could.
Yes, we could. CJ, tell me a little bit about when you first started this, the fears that you faced and how you overcame those, not only as you started your business, but as you grew it, because those are different things happen for all of us in those transition periods in our business.
You know, in the beginning, I was sort of mystified by the whole getting clients thing, as I mentioned earlier. And it wasn't until I decided to approach it as a problem that could be solved that I started feeling differently about it. You know, I looked around me and I saw other people that had successful businesses, and I didn't think that those people were necessarily more intelligent than I was or more connected than I was. You know, they were people like me. So if they had clients, I ought to be able to have clients too. So how were they doing it? And that was really where the Get Clients Now system came from, was because I looked at the successful people and what they were doing and said, let's build a system to replicate that. And when I began doing that myself, when I began looking at what it was the successful people were doing and seeing what pieces of it made sense for me to follow, that's when I came up with the formula that really worked. You know, it wasn't just about copying somebody else's style. It was about looking at what pieces of what they were doing made sense for who I was and for what I wanted to accomplish and for the type of clients that I wanted to have. And using those two principles as sort of a guideline, what's effective, what do I see other people doing that's working for them, and what do I personally feel in my integrity when I do this thing? What do I feel authentic and comfortable with? That intersection enabled me to overcome all of the trepidation that I had about reaching out to potential clients and placing the dreaded follow-up call.
Right. So you stepped into that place courageously, even when you were uncertain and fearful. You did it anyway.
And I did it a lot of times by visualizing the person out there who I was trying to help, because that's really what we're doing here as coaches. You know, we're trying to be of service to somebody, and if what we can do is we can picture that, oh, there's Jane. I had this conversation with her last week. She's really struggling. I think if we work together, I could be helpful to her. Let me picture Jane and her struggle and me being of service to her and her situation. And now do I think I can pick up the phone and call Jane, thinking about it that way, that if, in fact, I do call Jane and Jane does work with me, maybe she won't be struggling anymore? That helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right, too. Because, again, it's the keeping that connection that you've talked about that's so powerful, not seeing yourself as separate from that person and being able to still see the value that you're creating in being with them.
It's so easy to start thinking of our prospective customers as being faceless entities out there instead of other human beings with problems and goals just like us.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we can feel that connection with these people who we want to be our clients, that they are just other people just like us, right? That place, I think, can help us to overcome a lot of both our fears about marketing and our resistance to it. Because, you know, what's really marketing and selling all about? It's conversations, you know? We have them in different ways. We have them live with somebody on the phone. We have them in writing online. But it's all about conversations with people. And if we can focus on how can I be helpful to the other person in this conversation, I think that's a question that leads us to being positive about marketing and selling as opposed to feeling as if it's something very scary or very distasteful.
Mm-hmm. Let me just interrupt for a second and remind our listeners, that if you'd like to call in and have a question with CJ, you can reach us at 424-243-9638. Again, that's 424-243-9638. You can also join us in the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/ICF Phoenix. So, CJ, back to what you were saying. This is really a powerful, powerful sharing you're doing with us today. So thank you. You started out by saying that it's really all about building relationships. And then as we've talked more about the importance of seeing yourself having a conversation with somebody where you can imagine their face and see them, let's talk a little bit now, if you wouldn't mind, about how you help coaches get clear about the results that they're going to produce. so that they can talk with people within integrity about what happens in the coaching process that ends up in a powerful change for people.
You know, that can be one of the most challenging things, I think, that we as coaches have to do is talk about the results that people get from working with us, because sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, I'm a coach. I don't produce any results. The client produces the results. So I can't promise anything. I can't tell somebody, let's say I'm a career coach, I can't tell somebody, if you come and work with me, you're going to get a better job. I can't promise something like that. So how can I talk about results? And I think where you have to look is what people get just from the process of working with you, regardless of whether or not they ever achieve the goal they're working toward or solve the problem they're trying to fix. So I know, for example, that clients who come and work with me, one of the things that they get is clarity about what they're trying to accomplish. Another thing would be a sense of possibility that it's doable for them. Whatever big dream or vision they have, it's possible. That's another thing that they get. Those things are true whether or not that client ever achieves the goal or solves the problem. So we can absolutely talk about very, very tangible results. And it also comes back to the target market or the niche. You know, it's very, very difficult to sell, let's say, fulfillment, right? Because, sure, I want fulfillment, but is that something I'm going to pull out my checkbook and write a check for? I might want something a little bit more tangible in mind to justify to myself pulling out my checkbook. So that's why I am really a big proponent of coaches choosing niches, because, among other things, I think it makes it a lot easier for us to be able to market coaching. If what you can do is you can say, well, I'm a relationship coach. I help my clients have better relationships. And what I do in my coaching with them is I help them look at the relationships in their lives and determine what's working and what's not working about them. I help them to make changes in their relationships. So with that kind of language, you can get very, very tangible. To me, as a business coach, I can talk to people about, yes, I do help my clients get more clients. That's one of the things that I do, is I help them with that. Do I get those clients for them? No, of course not. They do. But do I help them do that? Yes. So you can get much more specific about the outcome that you're proposing to the client if you're more specialized in what kind of niche or target market you're working with.
And then in addition to helping people get clear on the results so they can articulate that to themselves as well as to their clients, do you also help people try to quantify the return on investment that people receive from coaching?
Sometimes, yes, although I find that the environments in which that's really an issue is in the corporate environment, where someone's always having to justify to someone else what was the money spent on and what did they get for it. So there are some absolutely fabulous studies on the bottom line return on investment in coaching, some of which are available as ICF resources and others which have been published by different entities. That's a place that I've pointed coaches very often in the past when they're working in the corporate market. So look, here's some actual statistics that you can quote from and some reports that you can provide copies of to clients that show them, here's how you can justify this to your boss or your board. Here's some actual studies that have been done that show that coaching actually produces bottom line advantages. So in that environment, I think sometimes that sort of evidence is really what's necessary.
And if there are some coaches out there listening to this right now who are, you know, kind of reacting and saying, oh, I can't possibly do this, I can't figure this out, what advice or support might you give them in getting started?
I think one of the benefits of working together with other people who are also trying to get clients is that you start to normalize your experience of it. So I actually designed Get Clients Now as a program that you can do not just alone but with other people. And a lot of people do that. They get a copy of the Get Clients Now book and then they team up with other people in their profession or a group of people in different professions to meet together regularly and check in about how well they're doing with the program. That peer support really helps you. I mean, yes, it creates accountability just like it does when you work with a coach, but it also creates that normalization of what you're experiencing. You discover, oh, other people are scared. Oh, other people never seem to find enough time to do these very important things on their list. Oh, other people are finding that when they actually do these simple, effective things consistently, clients result. Wow, that's encouraging. Now that I know that, maybe I'm willing to just take that little bit of extra effort and do something that's not quite comfortable because I can see that it's going to get me where I want to go. So I think in any environment, it can help you to interact with others who are on the same path. You can do that one-on-one with a coach. You can do it with a group of peers. And you can do it in an informal setting, but you can also do it in a more formal setting like a mastermind group or an action group, which is what I call groups of people who get together to use Get Clients Now.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have a new edition of Get Clients Now. What's changed from your previous editions and beyond that, beyond even this one, what's next for you, CJ? Let's talk first about the third edition, and then we'll go to the second question.
Great. So the new third edition of Get Clients Now just came out last week, and there's a lot of new material in the book. Social media marketing is now woven throughout the book, how to best employ social media, whether social media even makes sense for your business, how much effort it deserves. High touch marketing, despite the high-tech world that we're living in, how to establish personal connections and build relationships and boost your level of personal credibility with people who might become clients, really positioning yourself as a trusted resource versus a generic commodity. That's another one of the themes that is in the new edition. And a third one that's really important is some new approaches for dealing with fear and resistance and procrastination. Managing your fear of rejection, your own resistance to selling, the interference of the inner critic, and strengthening your self-confidence skills.
Oh, that's great. And where do you see yourself stretching to next, CJ, given this incredible foundation that you've created and this great work?
Well, thank you for that. I love still one-on-one coaching. I maintain and a group of one-on-one coaching clients at all times. Now that I've done the new edition of Get Clients Now, and I'll have a number of book launch activities going on for a little bit to support the new edition and the licensed facilitators who are using that edition. But I'm also working on actually two other books. I don't recommend working on two at once, but that's just the way it's happening. One of which is about working through the barriers that prevent us from being successful, and the other one is about getting more strategic in your business and figuring out what that means to you as a solo entrepreneur or micro business owner.
So it sounds like you're taking some aspects of what you've already been coaching and teaching about and deepening the conversation in each of those areas.
Yes, absolutely. Both of those books come out of all of the experiences I've had with my clients and what seems to be working for them.
CJ, how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in the book, if they're interested in becoming a facilitator, if they're interested in signing up to work with you to get clients now?
The best way to reach me is through getclientsnow.com. You can find out about the book there. There's an outline of what's new in the new edition and a sample chapter. And if you can buy the book from any bookseller, but if you buy it on my website, you also get an audio from me called The Secret to Marketing, It's Not What You Think. And there's information there about working with me as a coach and also about taking the Get Clients Now program or becoming a licensed facilitator for it.
We didn't speak much about becoming a licensed facilitator in your program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that aspect of your business?
You know, that happened really early on, not too long after I came up with the Get Clients Now program and was giving it myself. Another coach approached me and she said, you know, I really like this program and I would like to give it too. Could we arrange for me to do that? And she became my first licensed facilitator. And since that time, I've really evolved the program so that now there's a facilitator's handbook and a kit for them to use. And there's an online resource center. There's training. There's a whole bunch of support for people who choose to deliver the Get Clients Now program. And that's always a piece of my business, too, is making sure I support those folks so that they can be as successful as possible.
So I'm assuming that a facilitator has to get their own clients for the facilitated program as well.
Well, they have to get their own participants for the Get Clients Now program.
Yes, that's what I meant, right.
Yes,
they get
do.
To practice
yeah, so
what they're teaching.
People become a facilitator for the program, and then they can give group Get Clients Now programs, or they can use Get Clients Now one-on-one with their coaching clients.
Right. To do some of the work that you've talked about, what sort of marketing plan does a coach really need to have in order to get moving to get clients?
Well, I think first the kind that you don't want to have is the sort of marketing plan that a big business uses that spells out your goals and your approaches in all of these high-level theoretical terms without providing any details. Another kind of marketing plan that you don't want is the one that just lists a bunch of ideas without any consideration of what it's going to take to execute them. And unfortunately, that actually is the model that most books on small business marketing use. They just give you a list of ideas and then say, okay, go use them. So what you really need is you need a marketing action plan. You need a set of simple, effective things to do, and then do those things over and over. So you need to have an action plan that spells out exactly what you will do, how much of it, and how often you're going to do it. So instead of saying, well, gee, maybe I should network more, instead what you want to do is say, all right, I'm going to attend one live networking event a week and then put it on your calendar. Mm-hmm. So just like we would create that kind of specificity and accountability with a client who we are coaching, we need to do it for ourselves around marketing.
Okay, great. What could you share with us a couple of examples of some of your greatest successes?
You know, I think that it's been very, very gratifying to me that I've helped a lot of people get clients. And I've also helped many of my one-on-one clients develop a strategy for their business that keeps them happily employed for a long period of time. You know, since I've been coaching for over 20 years, I have the joy of seeing people who I coached a decade or more ago who are still in business and still thriving. And, oh, I love that. You know, one of the things I do is I serve on the board of a nonprofit called A Good Deed Tea, where we host teas and we operate as a giving circle and we fund projects to aid the economic and empowerment and education of women and girls in the developing world. And the women who have become part of that with me, some of them are women who I coached 10, 15, 20 years ago and are now successful businesswomen. And so they are able, like me, to be in a situation where we can give back and we can be part of something that is helping us do that in an organized way and together. And that, to me, is one of the most incredible things about the work that I do, is making some small change in someone's life and then 10 years later seeing the impact of that small change.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And it's nice to have been doing this long enough that now you can actually look over time and see what's happening with your clients.
Yes.
Some of us that are newer in the profession don't have that, you know, that long look back that where we can really be proud of our accomplishments as a coach. Yeah. Yeah. CJ, I forgot to ask you this earlier, but does getting testimonials help from your clients or from others in building your
testimonials
business?
Are great. Testimonials are really very, very powerful. And I think that even if you're just starting out, you can gather testimonials from people who you even do a sample session with, just so that you have people who say, you know, I worked with this coach and she helped me. Because we often do, as coaches, help somebody in half an hour. So, yes, absolutely. Testimonials are a great thing, getting people to give you a testimonial in writing that you can put up on your website, an endorsement on LinkedIn, where somebody is giving a testimonial for the work that you've done for them. All of those things can be very, very powerful in establishing that credibility that you need to have to convince somebody to do this intangible, nebulous thing called coaching.
To what extent do you think having being a member of ICF or having an ICF credential matters in terms of establishing credibility and getting clients?
I think with a certain group of people, the existence of your credential can be very powerful. I don't think that to many people there's the recognition of what a credential really means, and they don't know one from another. So you got letters after your name, great. I don't know where they came from or what they are. So I don't think that the specific credential has as much impact as perhaps we as coaches would like it to have. Mm-hmm. But I think that, yes, there are a group of people who are looking for a credential, and they do want to check out what the credential means and where it came from. But I think even more importantly, that it gives you more confidence that you know what you're doing. If you hold a credential, someone else has said you know how to coach. And that's a huge self-confidence booster. It can really make a difference in you feeling qualified to go out there and coach for a living. So I think that's a really important factor for getting, number one, training, and number two, a credential.
Mm-hmm. When you are in the starting a relationship with a client and or ending one, where in that process do you talk about wanting a referral and also getting the referral when you're working with clients?
You know, I don't ever ask a client for a referral. Most of the referrals that I get, I know, come from people who are not actually coaching clients, because I have a very small group of coaching clients, but I have a very, very wide network of people who know me and know my work. Mm-hmm. So the process of referral building isn't so much, in my view, about asking, dear client, please refer your friends to me, as it is to look at your wider network and identify who do you know that runs into the kind of client you want all the time. So here I am, I'm a business coach. Well, who runs into my clients, those solo entrepreneurs and small business owners all the time? Well, let's see, accountants, graphic designers, web designers, psychotherapists, who else, career counselors. So who is the list of people that is constantly encountering people who are either starting a business or wanting to get more strategic about their business? Okay, how many of those people do I know? Let's make sure I know more accountants. Let's make sure I know more financial planners. Let's make sure I know more people who work in entrepreneurship centers, people who are going to be in contact with those ideal clients of mine and therefore should know me and how I work. And, oh, by the way, let's find out what they need so we can make this a relationship and I can potentially either refer people to them or provide them resources that they need or whatever is most important to them in their enterprise. That's what I think is the real gold in referral building. I think it's much less about getting people who are already clients to refer other clients to you.
CJ, what's your thinking about paying for or being paid for referrals?
I think it can work under certain circumstances, but I also think it can backfire. So where it can backfire is if the person who is being paid to refer people to you does not disclose that they are getting paid for making those referrals, and the person being referred finds out about it. Boy, that's messy, isn't it?
Yes.
Pretty uncomfortable for all parties concerned. I think that it's much more important to have people refer you because they like you and trust you and think you do a good job than because they're getting some kind of kickback for it. Mm-hmm. So by calling it a kickback, I don't necessarily mean that it's bad or wrong. I just think you have to be careful how you use it, and it's probably a better idea to really focus on getting referrals from people who are doing it on the basis of trust and not compensation.
Okay. Thank you for that. CJ, I know we only have a few more minutes before we sign off. Is there anything else that you'd really like to share with us today about your work, about the book, about how they can reach you?
I'd love for people in our industry to really hold on to our values and beliefs that brought us to coaching in the first place. You know, when you get into business, there are all of these pulls and pushes to be different from who we really at our core are. There's the seduction of possibly making more money. There is the suggestion that we should market ourselves in ways that are not authentic. There are new ideas that present themselves to us every day, and sometimes they're bright, shiny bits, and we go chasing after them only to discover that they're really not in alignment with our values. I think we as coaches need to be a beacon for reflecting your values in your business. And I would love for all of us to keep reminding each other of that because it's so, so easy to forget.
Yes, you're right. Wonderful words to end by. CJ, this has just been delightful to be with you. It's been a pleasure to share this hour with you. And I would like to remind people that our future shows, we have Friday, June 14th at 2 p.m. with Kim Addis, Friday, July 12th with Gonzalo Cordova, and Friday, August 9th with Holly Crump. Really lovely topics, interesting people, and keeping coach conversations alive. So this is Tamara Stark, your interviewer and facilitator for today. It's a pleasure to have been with all of you in Blog Radio Land. And CJ, I'm going to give you the last word.
Thank you very much, Tamara. It's been a pleasure to be here today. And I would just like to say to everybody who's listening, hold on to your dream.
All right. Farewell.